You are listening to the Breaking the Spell podcast, hosted by Zuzanna Berendt
and Anna Majewska.
The podcast consists of four episodes, which are the harvest of the artistic research process conducted in the framework of the Breaking the Spell project. The podcast emerged from the archiving practice, which we developed during the project.
Each episode combines conversations and sound contributions prepared by the Breaking the Spell participants. And now, we turn it over to Marta Kyle, the curator of the project.
My name is Marta Kyle, and I would like to introduce you to the Breaking the Spell. It's been a pilot step of the artistic research project that reflected practices of thinking with and being with in performing arts, and researched spells as political and artistic practices, stemming from the moment of an overwhelming exhaustion, it attempted to understand how to make art in between the ends of the world. Together with a group of art workers, we have been looking for feminist strategies to re-enchant ways how we work and how we maintain transnational alignments. For a year and a half, in 2022 and 2023, we gathered in four European cities, being hosted by Residenz Schauspiel in Leipzig, Munich Kammerspiele, Innsbruck Performing Arts Institute in Warsaw, and Vier Nul Vier in Ghent. What you will listen to is by no means a result of this journey, as we feel it has only started. We are rather offering a glimpse into our exchanges, questions, struggles, and joys, with hope to become many in re-enchanting the ways we do things, in the art and far beyond.
Breaking the Spell was a project that challenged the way we think about the system of art production and the way the artwork is often valued more than the process of its creation. Because of that, Breaking the Spell challenges the art institution as a structure of power and the source of patterns for artistic collaboration. In this episode, we situate the Institution for Performing Arts in the center of discussion and invite to the conversation those who made this project possible by granting it a space in the institutions they co-create.
In this episode, our guests discuss under what circumstances can an art institution become an ally for a project such as Breaking the Spell, talk through the process of re-enchanting the patterns of thinking and doing reproduced by many institutions, and speculate about the future of performing arts institutions. In the conversation took part Thomas Frank, Marika de Munk, and Grzegorz Reska. It was moderated by Marta Kyle. The sound contributions that you will hear in this episode were created by Damla Ekintoke from Bodies of Knowledge Collective and Alexandra Boris.
My name is Marta Kyle. I'm the initiator of the project and the curator of the whole framework, together with partners whose representatives I'm super happy to welcome today with us. Thomas Frank, an artistic director for Schauspiel Residenz in Leipzig. Hello, Thomas.
Hi, everyone.
Marika de Munk, who is an artist, a curator, working at Vier Nul Vier in Ghent, who hosted the last episode of Breaking the Spell. Hello, Marika.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
And Grzegorz Reska, with whom we co-run together with also four other colleagues, Innsper Performing Arts Institute in Warsaw, who hosted the third episode of the third gathering of Breaking the Spell. Hello, Grzegorz.
Hello.
And we miss today Olivia Ebert, who works as a dramaturg at Munich Kammerspiele, who hosted the second gathering of Breaking the Spell. I need to underline also that the role of the Residenz Schauspiel in Leipzig was not only to host the very first gathering and to really be the ones who experimented with us all how that gathering would look like, but Residenz Schauspiel is the organization that led the whole process of Breaking the Spell and offered an amazing support to make it actually happen. Otherwise, it would never be possible. And therefore, I would love to start with a question, or to open the conversation with you, Thomas, if that's fine with you. As we've been in the process of conceiving, articulating, challenging what the project of Breaking the Spell could be from the very, very beginning,
And now, after the four gatherings of the project in its current shape, we are coming to its end, again in its current form. We hope it will spread or transform into many other films that we will be able to witness and to participate in soon. But for now, I wanted to ask you, how did the Breaking the Spell in its final shape, the one that it took actually in Leipzig, how did bring in all of this transfeminist, re-enchanting artistic practices resonated with the context of residents in Leipzig, with the way how you work? How did you find it? How did you find the process of situating the project in the context of your institution?
Thank you, Marta, for this introduction and for the beautiful words. I think remembering back the time when we conceived Breaking the Spell as a project together with you, Marta, and with Gregor in first instance, the circumstances we found ourselves in have changed our institutions massively. That was in the midst of the corona pandemic. And if we were allowed to open our doors in the theaters at all, we were faced with very limited capacities. In my venue in the Residenz here in Leipzig in particular, we were doomed down to 30 places for a while. And I started to wonder how to make a program that suits 30 people, like that is made for 30 people. And I mean, it was clear that this was not a situation forever, but it was the situation we were in. And we presented works that were originally planned under completely different conditions for bigger audience, big like house-filling things. It was quite interesting to present them in front of like limited audiences. And we took it as a challenge to actually think about a program that is for small audiences, for little audiences. And I was very much wondering in here for my place at Residenz in Leipzig, what that could mean, what is missing normally here, and what do we not have under the normal buzz of programming and production. That is one thing. And the other thing was, out of our conversations about artistic practices, about relevant voices, about what inspired us, there was an observation we shared, and that had to do a lot with female artists who work with a very explicit feminist consciousness, but don't necessarily do feminist works, like not articulatedly feminist productions. And that was something I was really interested in, how to reflect on this this changing artistic working methods by feminist artists who not necessarily do explicitly feminist works. What does it actually mean? What is that change in the artistic works actually? So we decided actually to create Breaking the Spell as a project that is not about feminism, but about feminist artistic practice. I think throughout the course of the project that came out quite beautifully. And back to your question, what that meant to my institution, was indeed more like remembering or reappropriation on these kinds of exchanges, on these ways of programming that are not basically about producing, about selling shows to audiences, but are more relevant in the level of debate, conversation, exchange, and the ways how we meet. And here, and especially to the last point, the ways how we meet, I actually think Breaking the Spell is a very rich project, because lots of what we were wondering from the beginning on, the first instance, was actually reflected exactly under this topic. How do we meet? How do we encounter in life, on stage, in artistic experiences? And in that sense, I mean, breaking the spell is not going to change my institution, definitely not, but it does change my way of how I think about these issues, definitely. And that obviously then has an impact on the program.
Of course, immediately my question would be then, what needs to happen so the institution also gets changed? Yeah? So if we were to do it again, how could we do it in a way that also the mode of working of the institution is being re-enchanted? There'll be, of course, immediately my follow-up question, but I also wanted to say a few words about the feminist or transfeminist approach. I mean, I think it's really key to underline that for us, it was never a goal that we would understand feminist practices as only the one being conceived and practiced or introduced by the female artist. We were very much into getting rid of any kind of binary categories here, which we definitely did not succeed. So I would say it's a beginning of, or maybe not the beginning, but it's one step in a very long way to arrive to more transfeminist than only feminist logic, not only in this project, but starting from this one for sure, but then going also further in the overall practice and discourse around performing arts. But yeah, maybe coming back to the influence of the Break Into Spell or possible influence on the way how it worked, how it can influence, it can impact the way how the institution operates. I was wondering, because it's obviously challenging to present the public component, how we conceived it is challenging for many institutions, because we ended up not necessarily with a festival, but rather with a sharing of a practice, not presenting ready performances, but rather sharing glimpses from the practice that the artists, the art workers, the curators, thinkers invited to join the project were willing to present and also maybe experiment with or test during the process. And then alongside, there was always at least one co-production of the Break in the Spell, of the full performance, full scale, if you want, performance taking place in each of the cities. And I was wondering how challenging did you find it in relation to build connection with your audience? How did it work for you?
I mean, the work we produced in the context of Breaking the Spell was Samara Hirsch's Body of Knowledge. And this is accessible for very limited audiences by the nature of the piece. And I would have had huge difficulties to produce this work outside of Breaking the Spell for economic reasons, because it's quite demanding to produce it. It's time consuming, and it has very little accessibility for audiences. It is one of these projects which are super beautiful, but very demanding for institutions to put it on because economic reasons, basically. And here the project helped a lot, the extra funding, but also the frame we provided. And otherwise, I mean, in the first gathering, in the first container of Breaking the Spell, we had this practice that in every second night, two of the artists who took place in the meeting presented either a workout or something they present easily alongside. And we present that publicly to an audience too, as part of the normal program, like everybody could come. What I found really interesting was that audiences sensed immediately when they entered the room that this is something else than a regular show in the program. They sensed immediately that they're entering a space where something else is going on. It was work in progress showings. It was unfinished work. It was tryouts. People accepted that easily, but also experienced the spirit of 15 people in the room who were on a different level of exchange already. And the audience were also invited to sneak in this spirit. And I think that was quite enriching. And I was very positively surprised how little it was experienced as exclusive. Also, this level of opening up was actually quite accessible and quite important to the evening program. This is something I learned here.
I think it seems from what I understand from you, it seems like that the Break in the Spell, it's also what we experienced in Warsaw. It's operated as a kind of exception in relation to how usually the institutions, the performing arts institutions, organizations work or have to work following certain rules, bring in particular number of audiences and so on and so forth. And if that worked well as an exception, then of course my question would be, what can we do so it stops being an exception, but it's actually offered as a kind of condition of experiencing performing arts and the encounter with the artist alongside the public component, which would always include some public presentations of the artistic practices or tryouts in the evenings during the gatherings. During the days, we were offered as the Breaking the Spell group a container, meaning a place in every single institution that hosted us, to meet and to talk, to exchange, to learn from each other or unlearn certain patterns, to think that we used to operate within, and to re-enchant the way how we think about collaboration, about producing, about not producing, about our practice, and think about how and its political impact can be much wider than our own rehearsal rooms or the closest collaborators. And obviously, a big part of the conversation was always to build the alignments. And of course, I would love to see these very alignments being translated also into the way how it works, how we work within the organizations and institutions we meet also outside the Breaking the Spell framework. And I wanted to ask you, Marika, whether hosting Breaking the Spell gathering did feel also as an exception for you? And I'm explicitly asking that very question because we were part of a broader festival there that tackled the question of how we can re-enchant the way how we think, how we operate within the world, how we imagine it. So how did it, what that status of the exception was it also present in Ghent from your side?
Thank you, Marta, for the question. I think I'll try to speak clearly, but for me, it resonated a lot with questions we are already like researching and ways of working that we also try to implement. But it stays, of course, difficult, as Thomas is saying, to kind of implement this on a structural level, I would say, because on the one hand, of course, we have this discourse, we want to kind of change things, but you also feel like in an institution as ours, we are still like in this old business model, I would say, that kind of rules the agenda. So it's difficult to really have this change in a sustainable way. I think it works in certain festival contexts or certain longer running projects, but to really change a system, I think it will take a lot of time, but we have to build exception, and in the end it becomes the regular thing, I would say. It's like I heard somebody say a few weeks ago, building a new coral reef on the old wrecks. So I think we're building coral reefs with these kind of projects. So in that way, for me, it was it was indeed part of the bigger festival, but it was a lot of resonance I felt with also this idea of creating kinship with this group over a long period of time. It's also something that I tried to do with a group of artists in our local community in Ghent. So it's for me like also a homecoming, the Breaking the Spell project.
Was there any particular challenge that you found with, thinking about the Breaking the Spell and the way how the practices gathered within its frames could be shared further? I'm asking that because for me personally, this is also one of the biggest challenges, how what we have contained within our conversations and behind closed doors could become more public and accessible to the ones who were not with us in these very rooms. And I was wondering whether you would also see it as a challenge or maybe something else that you found particularly challenging in relation to how Field New Fear operates on the daily basis.
So how to bring the discourse that happens behind closed doors to a broader audience? That is a bit the question. Also within the organization as to our public, right? It's challenging. I don't have immediately an answer. What I try to do is kind of find this strategies of like a Trojan horse, like kind of within the system, try to change things, and also in communication, try to use alibis to seduce people and then open this up. This I don't know if this makes sense in English. I cannot find the right words.
Basically, I was wondering, what did you see as the biggest challenge while introducing Breaking the Spell to the program of Field New Fear? Whether there was any particular challenge you found there?
I think in a broader sense, there were a lot of challenges. Like on the one hand, I think it was super enriching to bring Breaking the Spell within the context of the festival. But on the other hand, it also felt a bit, for me as a curator working at Vier, that I didn't have enough time and attention for the Breaking the Spell project as a whole. And then also, I wonder what is more interesting for what you bring, like to really present it on its own or part of this bigger thing. So in that sense, I was trying to kind of see, like, because in my way of programming, I try to always bring more accessible things for an audience. And then that is what I was trying to explain, seduce people to come to this like more known thing and then bring him into a more difficult discourse, let's say. So in that sense, I really don't know if this was the right strategy or not. So I'm not like, I think there is something to say for bringing it in the festival, but it's also something to say for presenting it on its own. So I bumped into a lot of challenges there. For me, but also for my colleagues, because I think there was a lot of things going on, and it was sometimes difficult to kind of give enough attention. Yeah, and maybe that's also the same for the audience. But on the other hand, I also, because I was talking with an artist the other day who joined the lunch conversation, and they were so excited about this, and they said, like, if it wasn't part of this festival, we probably wouldn't have come from Antwerp for this lunch conversation, but because it was, we did, because we came to the festival, and so we bumped into this lunch conversation. So it's kind of, there's positive and negative things about it, I would say.
Because it feels like maybe you need another platform for such small-scale projects as Breaking the Spell. And by small scale, I don't mean necessarily the number of participants or the number of meetings. We had quite a lot of both. But I mean the accessibility indeed for the audience, right? Or the parts that we were ready to reveal immediately for the encounter with the audiences. Because obviously with this, Breaking the Spell is to a large extent an artistic research process and building of a certain network community body, collective body, however we would decide it to call or however each of us needs to call it and to name it. And then obviously, it needs some time and space because it's a very fragile process. And then I guess a challenge would also be to create best possible conditions to like basic structure for that to happen. And that sense of belonging or constructing a collective body or a community possibly or a network could actually happen. We need time to build a trust. But then of course, how not to make it an exclusive project, right? So I guess that's also one of the strategies. Maybe it needs some kind of the platforms when it can be introduced alongside other practices, other performances. So the audience can be gathered also through other reasons and then be invited as a consequence to attend events like this one.
The first sound contribution in this episode comes from Damla Ekintoker, one of the members of the collective creating BOK, Bodies of Knowledge, the nomadic space for sharing and exchanging non-dominant, underexposed and suppressed knowledges. BOK's learning sessions were part of the Breaking the Spell gatherings in Munich and Ghent. Damla recorded her contribution as an answer to the question, how BOK creates a space for learning and being together outside the structures of the institution, and what are its relations with the institutions?
I would have liked to maybe send you some healing sea sounds, but I couldn't resist to Anna and Susanna's questions on BOK's relation with institutions. Bodies of knowledge obviously collaborate with artistic institutions in Brussels or elsewhere. For me, this is a kind of a necessity for BOK in the current art sector or art market, let's say. On the other side, the institutions are interested in collaborating with BOK because it is a different way of reaching out. It's in public space, with a different public, with a different attitude. However, I think BOK is antagonistic with the institutions, not only because It creates space for learning and being together outside the structures of the institutions. But also, Bok tries to reverse what and who an institution represents and how it functions. By definition, an institution is established. It has its habitual practices. It invites acknowledged or confirmed artists to present in a respectable environment. But it's pretty much predetermined. On the other hand, Bok is quite flexible. It has to recreate itself every time according to the situation, the day, the time, the weather, but also for the particularities of a location. And every time it comes up with new bodies of knowledge, so new content. And this knowledge shared in Bok is particularly non-acknowledged, non-recognized, non-confirmed. This is also the case for who is involved. While institution invites reclaimed artists, Bok invites non-dominant voices that we don't hear in school, in medias, or in the institutions. I recently had a funny experience on discrepancies between Bok and institutions. We work a lot with questions printed on rolls of paper with different colors and sometimes handmade flyers printed out on colorful papers. So we have a lot of this back and forth between the printer and the scanner and the computer and the hands-on again. For this case, I was just trying to print some posters on colored paper. However, the printer was working only with an institutional email address, which can only open on a computer of the institution. And then even the printer was not using the colored papers that I was putting in, but its usual white A4s for printing. So finally, even the printer of the institution was resisting to the ways of working of Bok. Still, both institutions and Bok has a lot to learn from each other and exchange with each other. For example, an institution's knowledge about its environment, the neighborhood, the neighbors themselves are very valuable for projects like Bok. And I think institutions has a lot to learn from Bok in terms of reaching out rather than inviting attitude. And if there is a hands-on printer, that's always the best.
Because in Warsaw, basically, we combined Breaking the Spell also with another festival, which was UpUp Feminist Futures, a network that our organization, Performing Arts Institute, INSPER, is also part of. And the main sharing with the audience would consist of the program of the UpUp Feminist Futures, that also to a large extent overlapped with the conversations and with the themes, and often with the artists themselves that were taking part in the break in the spell. But then in Warsaw, we did it in a very precarious way. And I wanted to ask Grzegorz maybe to explain a little bit more the structure we were able to do it in Warsaw, and what did you find as a co-host of the whole event, what did you find as the biggest challenge there?
Yes, I think in the local context of Warsaw, the economical frames were the most challenging, because we ended up throughout development of the project, the already very vulnerable organization in even more vulnerable position without any local budget. So at the end, as a kind of almost juggling trick to do two projects together, which comes and interweaves on the level of topic, on the level of certain pool of ideas. Nevertheless, I had being very much on the financial side of the project in Warsaw, I had the feeling that I'm walking, still keeping this circus-related vocabulary on the thin line, without any margin, which is also very important when you do experimental steps, that you have a margin and then you can embrace unexpected. We did not have so much of that. But what is also very interesting for me, a bit maybe zooming out, also my condition in the project changed because we start with you and with Thomas, those talks in the middle of the lockdown, Marta and me being independent curators, thinking about the projects, and I suddenly ended up halfway, even before we started the project, I ended up running the festival. It's for me very interesting because the project we developed, this was initiated between the four organizations running more or less seasonal programs, with on a very different scale. Wir nur wir, with many buildings across the city. Inspire in Warsaw, six people without a budget. Nevertheless, we were not festivals, and we ended up being able to implement those local islands, those local containers of the project, more or less in a format of festival, which is even more problematic for me because it's very important what Thomas said at the beginning, and Mareka also follow up, that we keep saying that this was exceptional. This is exception. These are the exceptional conditions for the project. This model of exchange between the artists, this is from my perspective very root base for what the festival should be. Nevertheless, I think that what you or we did throughout the Breaking the Spell, even for the festival realities, it is exceptional, because also the body of festivals in a Western context lose this capacity of being place for the free exchange, being place of the inspiration moments between the artists. We are more and more into this liberal rules that we have to deliver numbers. So it's not only exceptional, I believe, for the venues, but it's also exceptional in the frame of the festival. Like, it's even for the festival quite exceptional condition of work.
I'm immediately wondering, what if? Because also at the moment you are, Grzegorz, situated in Utrecht. We both are, actually, but you are running Spring Festival in Utrecht, and you said several times that this is also the entity that would probably benefit, or the festival could benefit from hosting this type of practices as Breaking the Spell, or as artistic practices that were consisting the Breaking the Spell. Feminist, transfeminist, very political and poetic at the same time practices that use sometimes spells as the performative political tool, or that re-enchanted the way how we work by the way of building relationships with the audiences, treating them as partners, not as someone to teach about whatever, but really as the ones that created the situation together with an artist. Or by the way, how the artists being part, or the art workers, curators being part of the project, work with the non-human companions, and how they break the rules of constant competition and constant concurrence, and try to build alignments instead. And I'm wondering what type of the alignments would you all need to host this type of practices? Feminist, transfeminist, spelling practices, in your re-enchanting practices, more often? Or how could they be? What type of the alignments, what type of the support would you need in order for them to become a rule more than an exception in your organizations?
I think primarily the different model of operating also between the organization and its program and the audiences. And it's something, it's I don't want to sell here all my thoughts. We just finished the festival. But when I look, in the way how the majority of performing arts festivals today operates, and this is also something which we were experiencing back in Poland more and more, is that it's more and more kind of compressed model of season. So there are lots of things, but still they come into the communication with all the communities around the festival in the way of the singular programs. And I wonder, I'm not a big music festival goer, but I recently think more and more if this model, which especially the big music festivals implemented, if this is not the way how you can bring much, much more radical, different choices, aesthetic, on the aesthetic level, but also on the way of performing into the audience, because you have this audience which really immerse into things which they know and don't know. And coming back to what Mareike, you said, I would see this problem of transferring what happened in the container into two levels. The one is really how we can carry this within the organization and these core participants. So how we can avoid the time frame of the project. It's okay, we gather these artists as an organization, but how we can look ahead and make sure that we stay with those artists in a certain connection to make sure that whatever was embodied in them and in us as an organization, it can still brew further. And so when it comes purely to also this short-term communication with those who were outside the container, it's really about finding tricks almost, how to deliver this in a way between the lines, how to find the way how that can be transferred outside the container, not really framed again as a product, because we don't have a vocabulary to describe it as a product. And still we have to perform within the certain structure which is recognizable and readable for those communities who comes from the outside, who connect to the festival. So I think these are two, and probably the first one is much easier, especially for the organizations running through the season. And Thomas can think 3, 4, 5 years ahead, some of the artists who were in the container, how to continue in the local context, in the organizational context. But it's much more difficult to find this to understand this porous structure of the container wall and how this can, because this transfer has to be immediate. What we are doing now, this will not help to reach out the audiences around our organizations. This is something, this is the way how we can wrap up, how we can pile up our experience, have a self-reflection, maybe share it with the colleagues. But this transfer through the container walls, it has to happen immediately. And I don't think we found already the solutions. It's a bit what was already said, this building, this making, like if you make the exception once, it's exception. If you make the exception 50 times, and if the 10 other alliances in your immediate surrounding will do these exceptions, at a certain moment, we very often don't know when the exception become the rule. And it's a bit of the anarchistic approach. But yeah, we can only do that. And then indeed make sure that we are not staying in our small group, but we try to communicate it also with other colleagues in the field. And then build broader and broader.
Sounds like we need, first of all, a second step that's clear, but also in a very different format, I guess, and different, various constellations maybe. But also we need, it seems, alignments in order to really, translate the exception into a condition. How does it look for you, Marek and Thomas? What would you need from the perspective of the institutions you are responsible for or part of in order to continue and to make space, make even more space for this type of practices, re-enchanting practices?
I think one, on an institutional level, one very beautiful part of the project was the institutional witchcraft of building the teams, the team of artists who would join in these containers. That was the moment when the network was really, hot, like it was energized. Otherwise, there were a lot of pragmatics around it, but at this moment, it was really about getting a very clear understanding what is requested from people we invite into the project, whom can we picture here, and how does it connect. And I think what we did here was very beautiful. I have to confess that I was also full of doubt before, because it was such a weird and complicated mathematical exercise to build this system where local artists as well as delegates from each places would come to one place, and a different set of groups under the same mathematics would continue in the second place and in the third and the fourth place. But in fact, we achieved to fulfill quite a lot of requests to get links into the local scene, to get reliability into the project, to have at least mid-term engagement within the group, and also to have a quite wide range of vibrant artistic approaches with people, artists, who are really open to dive into such kind of exchange. I'm not saying that only to praise our achievements, but also it tells me a lot about how networks work, because the pragmatics behind it is easily done. And we don't need much of structure and exchange. And I mean, it's still quite a lot of work related and stuff like that, but that's management. The moment when it becomes really hot is the moment when we really have to take decisions about who's filling it with content and in which form. That was really interesting how that worked. I think that I need a lot for my work as well, locally, also beyond Breaking the Spell. This way of exchanges and networking, not for the purpose of networking, but networking for the purpose of taking over responsibility towards an artistic approach or an artistic achievement. And this is, I learned again in Breaking the Spell how much I actually miss it at the moment.
I will maybe add a bit on that. What I totally agree, Thomas, what you were saying. What I would find a super interesting next step is, because now this conversation is happening between us and between the artist, and there's like a small part of audiences involved. But I think what could be interesting is that we would organize a new visit of the group of Breaking the Spell, so the artists and the curators and the colleagues from the other organizations, to visit each place, let's say for 2 days. And on the first day, I could imagine having this one-on-one conversation each time with a colleague of mine, because we work with so many different people from all different teams, and that the artists would also, I would talk a bit about, like, why do they choose to be involved in this project? What is it about? How did they organize? What were they talking about? What did they learn? What kind of impact does it have on their artistic career? Like, all this personal information, in a way, exchange this or share this with a colleague on the first day, let's say, and also this, like, several one-on-one conversations. And the next day, repeat this exercise, but then with people who are invited from the audience, because I think a lot of what we are doing is not clear for my colleagues, also external. And this would kind of raise the awareness around the importance of this kind of practices, because I feel it when I also talk with friends or, like, you know, family, like, people don't have an insight in this kind of practices because it's like still very common to think about art as a product. So I think it's really important to open up this conversation before having continuation of the project, to really stand still also with a broader group. That would, I think, be very interesting. I don't know if it's feasible, but just thinking about it, like how to also broaden this network of awareness about this importance of this kind of work.
Thank you so much, Marika, for that idea, which resonates very much also with a lot of my dreams around possible, maybe not next steps, but like possible other ways of addressing artistic practices of re-enchanting, of breaking and casting the spells. At the moment, the project in its current form is closing up, and it's definitely up to the group of the whole group of the participants, of the artists, art workers, curators, thinkers that were part of the Breaking the Spell constellation, to see what they want to do with it next, and how they want it to be transformed. I have a feeling that we left in Ghent with this big pot. There was actually also a physical pot, much smaller, but very rich when it comes to the content, with a lot of desires, urgencies, wishes, practices, ideas, commitments, a lot of care that we all put in that very pot. And now, from my personal perspective, it feels like many of us will take from that pot whatever they need in the different steps of their path, and in the pace that is that will be required and will be needed, or will be welcomed at some point. And I do trust this kind of organic way very much of continuing with different threads that Breaking the Spell started with. What I'm personally dreaming of, and what would be my own desire, is to see whether this type of knowledges and artistic practices that we discussed and we practiced within the Breaking the Spell can become at some point a basis for a school, or a form of a school that can be shared with a broader audience or broader artistic communities. So this question of how to open up the containers for the broader audiences would be really key for me personally. Yeah, I wanted to maybe conclude with the spell, because we talked a lot about the spells within this very project, with a lot of confronting a lot of cliché around the spells, but also a kind of uncanniness of that very notion. It's not an easy one, and not an easy one to trust, not an easy one to practice. And we also were discussing what type of the spells we wanted to break within this project, but also what type of the spells we wanted to cast. And I think, and I wanted to ask you whether there's any particular spell, after this experience of hosting them in your organizations, whether there was any particular takeaway in the form of a spell you would like to cast for the future of how you continue to work in your institutions, organizations. I can start, and my position is a bit different because I'm a freelance curator and dramaturg. But I guess if I was to cast a spell, that would be the commitment, actually, maybe more than a spell, a commitment I already expressed during the last gathering of Breaking the Spell in Ghent, which would relate to a commitment to find non-patriarchal and non-violent structures to work within, not to repeat the path that so many of us end up with, and myself included, of course, which is to compromise sometimes too much while entering into new alignments just to make things happen. I feel sometimes it's not worth certain compromises, or to a certain extent. And that will be my commitment, or my wish, or a spell I would like to cast that I believe can also very much change the way how the institutions or organizations operate. Do you have any spell you would like to cast for the future of your work and your organizations?
So what I find inspirational as a kind of, it's a quote that I also use for the festival by the Nigerian philosopher Bayo Akomolafi. He says, the times are urgent, so let's slow down. And I find it really triggering as a kind of a spell to bring on the art sector to really slow down. Also for myself, it's a challenge. I'm really learned as a kid to do everything fast and more and better. And so it's something that I really want to cast on myself as well, to really slow down, speak slower, read slower, you know, eat slower, and that we would all as a sector try to be an example for society. So slowing down would be my spell.
Beautiful one. Thank you so much. Tomasz, Grzegorz, do you have one or more?
I think the spell I would like to cast on the institutional work has a lot to do with patience and the ability to evaluate artistic developments on the longer scale, like beyond figures and bumps on seats and ticket incomes, in terms of artistic progress, really. Because what I also learned from breaking the spell is that it is that these kinds of projects have a long-term impact on me, but also on the way we might work, and it will for sure be reflected in artistic works of those people who went through this process, but you might only see that in 5 years' time. And coming back to this, to the spell, I'm working in a dinosauria institution anyways, but I wish that it will change just as slowly. Institution could change a little bit faster. The ability to observe developments on the longer scale, that would be the spell, rather than, institutions might change. It's the attention, yes.
So it's the attention, not only patience. Yeah. Thanks a lot for this one. Grzegorz?
I'm not currently working in a dinosaur organization, but sometimes I think still I do. And going alongside what Thomas just said, I think that with these projects, like the Breaking the Spell, creating within the organization, creating the space for this change, for this difference, we have a tendency very often to kind of target it outside. So we create a space to change, and this change should happen somewhere. But I think that the most important and the most honest and the most also fruitful will be if we will put ourselves as the first target of it. And if we will, in a way, it's not about inward gaze, it's about also letting our alliances to not only look for the change, for the difference outside, but really to first think together how we can these concepts, these wishes, these spells immediately implement inside this container we are creating.
So we have a spell on slowdown, on patience and consequence, a spell on experimenting, start the experiment with ourselves. And maybe I could only add that we need to be many. Yeah? We need to experiment on ourselves, but we need to be many. So that will be my wish and the final spell for today. Thank you so much for joining the conversation.
And from the spells, we move towards to the card reading. Choreographer Alexandra Borys pulls cards for the future of art institutions. Let's see and hear into the possible future together with her.
For the audio postcard on art institutions, I've decided to make a card spread and read the cards, as I find there is so much to dive into that seems like a nice form of navigating through the subject. According to the cards, it seems that at the core of the art institutions theme is they're asking to look into the insights or into whether the desires of the art institutions are matching the outcome of what are they producing. And then it seems that there might be some dissonance between what's coming out and what the institution has at heart, regardless how much work it's put into it. It seems that it might be coming out of a sort of logical overload or overwork of the headspace. That it might be that there is too much structure put or pressure put on itself, that it starts to create some dissonance. The cards are also suggesting that once there is a shift or there is a space to refocus on what's actually art institutions, or what I like to call institutions for art, are for, because there is a very clear purpose and there is a very specific reason for that structure to exist. So once it's refocused or re-acknowledged, there is a new source of energy, new potential in it. That's what the card would suggest for the institution to look at. Whereas, what are the need? Like, what were the reasons for it to exist? Where is the work put? Is the work producing the outcomes that are actually desired? What I like about the spread is also that at the bottom of the spread, there is a card for the world, which suggests that art institution could actually become whatever it wishes to be. So the potential is limitless. The possibilities of what it could be are open. And I think generally we're in, like, these are the times where so much is being repurposed, renamed, refound, reacknowledged, that it is very juicy and flexible in a way, form that surprisingly can change the shape and change its reasoning quite easily, even though it might not seem so at first. But I like that the cards are also suggesting that the potential is limitless, and there is a opening for the art institution to dream and become maybe unexpected, or open itself up for unreal in a way and make it real. And then at the top of the spread, there is a card suggesting that there is an opening for the reshaping or refocusing, or I think it's even in the small gestures, it's in the small tunings, it's in the tuning in, it's in focusing, it's in the intention where the difference is found and is happening. And once the energy is directed, there is a sort of new spring of possibilities, a new spring of energy to be found to go further. So there is a sort of, it seems that there is obvious exhaustion within the current state. I think we can all feel it a little bit within the institutions, also with all the pressure that it's put by the institution on itself, but also the positioning of the institution in art world at the moment is in a way maybe mismatched. It's exhausting, but it's not rejuvenating. So there is a suggestion for reshaping or refinding how to use the work that it's being done to achieve the fruits that are desired. I think I'm looking, I don't know, there are delicious fruits to be found. So no need to exhaust. There's no need for exhaustion. It seems that this is the trap that tends to get the art institution. So how to use this energy in this work in more rejuvenating way. Yeah, so it brings more life and less exhaustion, which I believe could be more beneficial for everyone.
Breaking the Spell project has been produced by Residenzschauspiel Leipzig, Münchner Kammerspiele, Performing Arts Institute in Warsaw, and Vier Neue Vier in Ghent. It's been funded by the German Federal Culture Foundation and by the Federal Government Commissioner for Culture and the Media.